First, growing old can be tough, and women may face particular challenges. Ageism, bias against older women, loss of loved ones, health concerns. It's easy to think of the downsides of getting older. But our next guest says old age can be a time of happiness, gratitude, and contentment for women, and there are ways to make aging more positive, even in the midst of the bad stuff. Mary Pfeiffer is a psychologist specializing in women, trauma, and the effects of our culture on mental health. She's the author of 10 books, including her latest. It's called Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age. Mary, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, you focus on a lot of the positives of aging in your book, and we'll spend a lot of our time on that. That said, you don't ignore some of the realities. What are some of the difficulties women face in particular as they age?
Well, I talk about the joys of and sorrows of this life stage being as mixed together as sea salt and water. And that's what I think makes it such a catalytic stage for growth. But among the sorrows, most of us start losing people as we age. Many of us lose some loss of functioning in some way that affects what we can do. For example, I no longer backpack up mountains or go ice skating, even though those were things I really enjoyed at one point in my life. And also we are more likely to deal with things like loneliness as we age and our friends move move on in terms of where they live and so on. So I think there's a lot of challenges, including one great challenge is ageism. And in fact, I think ageism is actually a bigger problem for women than aging, because ageism is really about cultural scripts that are very limiting to women in terms of their own understanding of how much potential they have to grow in this life stage.
Talk about ageism and the roles that we as a culture assign, the limiting roles that we as a culture assign to older women.
Well, it's a funny thing, Rob. When I wrote this book, I tell people, well, I'm writing a book about older women. And the women I told would either say, you're not old, or I'm not old. But nobody wanted to say anybody was old. And it's because being old is such a toxic word in this culture, and it's associated with so many bad ideas. You know, I mean, the sort of the general stereotype of older women is, for example, portrayed with mother-in-law jokes that were kind of old, useless, grumpy, in the way. And a lot of the way the culture defines old age is by our limits, that we're not as sexy or we're not as attractive or we're not as productive, we're not in the workforce or we're not raising children. And in fact, as I looked around me at older women, and I'm 71, I'm in this life stage too, I realized that's actually not the story at all, that women are the happiest people in the American population, women over 65. And when I talk to my women friends, many of them are saying, this is my favorite life stage. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But one of them is that we've had, in many cases, 7 decades to learn to be resilient people and to develop the kind of life skills that allow us to just be grateful and happy and have reasonable expectations so that we're primed for happier lives because of our internal architecture and our coping skills.
Talking to Mary Pfeiffer, she's a psychologist and author of the new book, Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age. You talk about that metaphor in your title in the book, Mary. You're not recommending that older women drift with the current. You want them to row and navigate. You're making the case, I think, that women have some control over their happiness through the choices they make.
Absolutely. I think that the challenge of this life stage is, with all of its perils, to cultivate resilient responses to whatever it is we face. And the way to do that is by intention and attitude. And intention is basically deciding that we're going to have a certain kind of lives. We're going to look in a certain direction for our happiness. We're going to build good days for ourselves. We're going to find meaning and purpose and things to enjoy. And then attitude is just making a really very conscious or existential decision that we've got everything we need to be happy, and that we're going to focus on those thoughts and behaviors and attitudes that make us happy. So I think a lot of us end up, by the time we're 70, having the potential to do that. And, you know, another thing that's really important at this life stage is we're starting to be aware that the runway is short. And one of the things we know about research from older people is that the shorter the distance you perceive to be between the current moment and your death, the more likely you are to find your life meaningful and full of pleasure. And that's what starts happening. You start being so grateful for these beautiful little experiences. In fact, one of the sort of things I think by now is there really isn't such a thing as a small pleasure. What happens, I think, for many people as they get older is everything becomes something to be really savored and enjoyed.
We're talking to Mary Pfeiffer right now about women, aging, and happiness. Her new book is called Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a woman, middle-aged, old, anywhere in between, do you feel like you've experienced ageism in your life? How do you find fulfillment in your days and weeks as you grow older? Do you feel some of what our guest is talking about, that joy in the smaller moments of life? Do you have advice for other people on how to age well and happily? We'll also talk about gratitude in just a little bit. You can call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we're talking to Mary Pfeiffer about the experience of growing old as a woman and how to navigate happiness. She's a psychologist specializing in women. Her new book is called Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? If you're middle-aged or older, what's your experience been with aging? Have you found more happiness or contentment as you get older? Are there things that work for you, even in the midst of some challenges, that to help you find happiness with your life? Do you think society gets aging wrong? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll go to your calls now. Marcia is with us in Madison. Marcia, hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Marcia?
Well, first, I very much appreciate the book, but I have a circle of friends, and we met, and we were talking about this very subject yesterday. And one of the things we decided is that I think every generation needs to know that we've been through so much that we can become very compassionate people. And so we're probably the best ones when younger generations have troubles to come tell us about it, because we probably have been there and done it.
Marcia, thank you so much for sharing that conversation you had with your friends. Mary, what do you think of that, finding compassion in aging and using that life experience to help younger people?
I think Marcia's absolutely right. And one of the great gifts of old age is a growth in empathy and moral imagination. And so we're likely to have compassion, and we're also likely to have a lot of stories that we can tell that are teaching stories about things that have happened to us over the course of our lifetime that might be useful to younger people. The other thing I feel is really important is in this society, we segregate people so much by age. And it's a sad injustice to all of us, because each life stage has its own kind of loving, its own kind of energy and skills. And so when we can put together older people with younger people, really good things happen. Really good things happen.
Marcia, thanks for that call. And Mary, Marcia reminds me of another chapter in your book about finding community. It sounds like she's done that pretty well. Talk about the importance of finding, maybe recreating community as we age.
Well, I talk about that in a lot of ways, but one thing I mention in the book, I have a chapter on it, in fact, is women friends. And as we get older, I think we're extremely fortunate if we have women friends, and it's never too late to make women friends. But they become sort of our emotional health insurance policies and do a lot of supporting and nurturing us. If we're really lucky, we have friends we've had for 5 decades, but that isn't something that happens to everyone. So that's an important community. The other thing is, I think it's really great to be involved in one's neighborhood as some kind of advocate or activist or volunteer, because these meaningful activities give us reason to be alive. And the saddest old people I've met are people who kind of feel like, well, I don't really have any purpose here on Earth. I think having a purpose is important to most people as having oxygen. And so it's very good to be engaged in community.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Jane is with us in Grafton. Jane, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am so excited because just last night somebody told me to read her book. I can't wait to
thank you.
Yeah, she said it was really good. And I tell everybody, just like you are, that it's terrific to be old. I'm 72, and I love it. I tutor dyslexic kids. I'm very involved with my grandchildren, and I sing at a barbershop course that gives me tons of emotional support. And I think it's true. I wouldn't trade this time of my life for anything. I find it easier to love and to forgive, find joy in the silliest of things. I love it.
Jane, thank you so much for sharing that. A lot there for us to talk about, Mary. Easier to love and forgive, Jane says.
Well, I think that's true. And including, I think we start having a real sense of self-acceptance. A lot of women are pretty hard on themselves and give themselves a pretty hard time and second-guess themselves and feel guilty. And it seems like this is the last stage where we start to really extend mercy to ourselves as well as the rest of the world. You know, there's a lot of gifts at this life stage. And Jane is a good, she sounds happy, doesn't she? Her voice sounds happy. And one of them is authenticity and the ability to just be who we are and do what we want to do and say what we want to say. And that's a great thing. Another gift is sort of being able to take the long view of life and keep things in perspective. And, for example, I knew my great-grandmother, and I'm likely to live long enough to know my great-grandchildren. So when I have family issues and things come up, I've got 7 generations of family that I can think about in terms of putting things in a perspective. And it's just, it's really wonderful. And the other thing I want to mention is very common with older people, is they start having more experiences of bliss and more epiphanies. And I think partly that's because we slow down. It's really hard to experience bliss if you're always in a hurry and if you're always crossing things off the to-do list. But at the point you can start really slowing down and sitting and having a cup of coffee and watching the sunrise. Or my favorite thing is I love to go out and lie under the stars at night in the summer and just look at the sky. You start having more moments when you just feel like I'm really truly happy and feel so lucky to be alive. And that's something I think that ironically comes with age.
Thanks so much for that call. We'll go next to Darlene with us in Tomahawk. Darlene, hello.
Hello. I just turned 93 on the last day of January, and it's interesting to hear these 72-year-olds saying that they're getting old. but anyway, a couple of things. One is that my best friend since second grade is still alive, and we say we're so happy we remember who we are and we can remember things to talk about and enjoy that. The other little skill that I don't know if you say it's a skill, but the other thing that I like to do is if I sit and feel that I'm alone too often or too long a time, I think, well, just think where you've been and the things you've done. So I start making a little list of the places I've seen and visited and events that have happened, and it kind of lifts my spirits and I get to thinking of something good.
Darlene, thank you so much. Happy birthday. Mary, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Darlene's a really good example of happiness being a skill and a choice. And, you know, at 93, what she wants to tell the world on this phone call is, I've got a great best friend that I've had from second grade I truly enjoy, and here's something I do to cheer myself up. And she really exemplifies what I'm saying about older women, is that we both tend to make that choice to be happy and then have the skill set we need to assure that will happen.
Darlene, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Mary Pfeiffer. Her new book is called Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age. It does sound like a skill that she had, learning to take those sad moments and use her life experience to boost her spirits. Mary, can you talk about, I guess, skill building for aging if we don't have that skill, if we're succumbing to the downsides of aging? How do we start to turn the craft around?
Well, of course, first of all, none of us have that skill all the time. And speaking for myself, I'm not a naturally sunny person. And my lessons about happiness have been hard earned. And in fact, I think it'd be hard to write this book if I'd always been a real sunny person. Because what happens, I think, is as you grow older, you really start to figure out what works and how to make life workable. So that, for example, as you're aging, things happen all the time that you have to adapt to. And one of the real tricks of aging is that you keep adapting and that you keep finding workarounds and that you devise possibilities for yourself of self-rescue no matter what. And one thing I argue in the book is that as you're walking out of a friend's funeral, you learn the capacity to look overhead and hear the wild geese and see the wild geese and taste snow on your tongue. You figure out that gratitude's a survival skill, that there's always something you can do. You can look for evidence of love in the universe. You can look for beauty. You can look within yourself for your inner resources. And really, you have everything you need to be happy within yourself.
You mentioned, Mary, younger women being hard on themselves, and you give examples of that through the book. Is there a way we can translate what older women have learned, maybe by age 65 or 70, and help bring that to the younger women so they don't have to wait so long to get there?
Well, I think that's a great question. And I've actually been, when I've been on a book tour, so I've been hitting bookstores. And actually, a young woman stood up and asked that question at one of my bookstores. And the room just kind of laughed because I don't know a way to do that. I mean, I think of my daughter, who's a wonderful, resilient woman, but she's 41 and she's in the workforce and she has two little kids. And like a lot of young families, she and her husband are struggling with money. And I think she's slowly learning the skills she needs to learn to be calm and happy and resilient. But I think it's a lifelong process. And I think that's one of the things. This culture, when it talks about old age, talks about diminishment. And in fact, there's a totally different and much more interesting and complicated story under that, which is actually as you grow, not everyone grows. We all suffer, but we don't grow. And there's certain people that really have stayed stagnant because they haven't seen the opportunities, they've resisted or been fearful of every opportunity for growth that's come their way. But that's a very small group of people. And as we move forward and grow, we start gaining this inner strength that allows this to happen. And, I mean, I think, of course, there's 40-year-olds who know everything I know about being happy, and there's 90-year-olds that don't know much about being happy. But I think just the fact that we're around for 7 decades gives us some perspective and some life experience that you can't have at 40 years old.
We have time for one more caller. I think Stephanie is with us in Madison. Stephanie, hi.
Hi there. I just turned 69, and I'm also blind, where I have to use a cane. I've slowly lost my vision. I'm having to learn a whole bunch of new things. And I think what I'm learning is I don't want to be miserable, okay? I want to be a person that other people want to be with. And so it's realizing that we're all interdependent. There's no absolute. We don't really absolutely know what the future is going to hold. So I try to face new experiences with being open to what kind of experiences I can have and kind of getting my ego out of it and being in the present, being as mindful as I possibly can be.
Stephanie, thanks so much for calling. Mary, in our last minute or so, your thoughts on what Stephanie had to say.
Well, I think she's on her way. I mean, Stephanie, I really congratulate you for attitude. I mean, it's really clear that you have the attitude and the intention to be happy and to use a very old-fashioned phrase to make the best of it. And my guess is you will be able to. And, you know, the book doesn't argue that anybody has the capacity to be happy all the time. I mean, that would be a ridiculous argument. But what I do argue in the book very strongly is that with good attitude and intention, we can be happier and we can find ways to make every day better. And I can tell you're going to do that. You know, I have a lot of hope for you. And one of the things this book gave me was a great deal of respect and hope for all older people, and also the desire to start a new cultural conversation about this life stage, because the current conversation we have is really an inadequate conversation, and it's limiting the potential of the members of this culture who are over 65 to grow. And that's not only unfortunate for our generation, it's unfortunate for the culture.
It's a good place to leave it, Mary. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it, Rob. Goodbye.
That's Mary Pfeiffer, psychologist specializing in women, trauma, and the effects of our culture on mental health. We've been talking about her latest book. It's called Women Rowing North, Navigating Life's Currents and Flourishing as We Age.